I have essentially formulated five priorities, and they line up with the federal goals in procurement, as well as some observations that I've made since I've come to DHS. And the five priorities are quality people, or recruiting and developing the acquisition workforce. The second one is quality contracting and a bunch of initiatives within that. Quality program management, which gives you the other pieces around contracting within the acquisition lifecycle. Quality industry and government communication, and then finally, quality customer service. And there are a number of initiatives that we have in place, some new ones that I've put in place around those priorities to keep procurement moving in the right direction.
What was good about each of those priorities? What was the agency already doing well when you got there?
Well, a number of things had been done well over the previous 6.5, 7 years. Within quality people, for instance, they had established an intern program for replenishing the procurement, actually the acquisition workforce throughout DHS there. So that would be one thing under quality people. And quality contracting, they were doing a very good sort of, they were starting very well in something called strategic sourcing, which is something that helps us with our fiscal responsibility or translated saving money. Our small business program was very successful and has been very successful. In program management, there was sort of the first wave of program oversight that had been initiated. In industry and government communication, I think at the ground level for specific procurements, there was some pretty good communication going on there. And then in terms of customer service, I think across the board, within the different agencies within DHS, there were a variety of ways that people were tracking the service that they were providing to customers. So there was something going on within each one of these priority areas.
What kind of challenges have you run into with the various component agencies maybe being headed in different directions when it comes to procurement, and then you're trying to come in and tie them all together to at least get everybody going in the same direction?
Yeah, I would say that, first of all, the people all want to move in the same direction. And in terms of challenges, there's always going to be challenges. But the way we're lined up here in terms of procurement at DHS is I'm the chief procurement officer, and then there's a head of contracting activity for every agency, and so there's seven of those. And then I have a couple of buying shops myself. So if you think of it as nine buying shops that sort of – in one way, shape, or form, have to sort of report to me, I would say all the people are willing to move in the right direction. And it's just the typical challenge of any procurement organization is you're constantly moving towards consistency. The way we are addressing it is with several department-wide programs that we have in place. The intern program is a very good example of that, where we're developing interns in all of the different acquisition disciplines. They rotate throughout all of the components, and then ultimately they land in one of the components. So I would say the structure is there. People are very willing, and challenges are always going to be there.
The intern program is a model that's used all over government. A lot of agencies are doing that, especially in procurement. The goal is to get interns in many cases, and demonstrate that you have a career path, that this isn't just a job. This is something that you can do for a long time, whether it's at this agency or other agencies. DOD is really heavy on the professionalism of the and the career path of the procurement specialist. Is that also the case at DHS?
It is the case in DHS, and our program is quite expansive. So I spent about 20 years at IRS and was part of IRS procurement organizations developing their intern program, and that was mainly contract specialists. Here at DHS, we look at the entire acquisition life cycle and the different disciplines and people that are needed throughout the life cycle. And our intern program is built around that. So we have continuously maintained 200 total interns in the following disciplines: contract specialists, program analysts, which ultimately would become program managers, cost estimators, systems engineers, information technology specialists, and logistics management specialists. And all of those disciplines are covering the entire life cycle, so requirements, development, the contracting piece, ultimately the program and contract management piece, post-award of contracts.
A personal question about your management style. Was it tempting when you came into DHS with the length of experience that you had in the procurement shop at IRS to say, well, you're doing it differently, and we did it this way, and it worked, so we're going to do it that way starting today, and process that exists here doesn't matter. Was that kind of tempting maybe to come in and say, we're going to do it this way from now on?
No, not at all, because my leadership style is derived from, I grew up in family businesses. We had some nursery schools and a travel agency. And I always have seen that you drive everything through leaders. And leaders are people, and they all have different ideas. They tend to complete each other and complement each other. So I think the best thing to do is always come in, see what's been done, as you mentioned previously, and a lot of good work was done. And then figure out how can you add to that and maybe tweak some things in order to deal with change, which is what we're all dealing with all the time in this particular career field.
A lot of good things have been done at DHS procurement-wise, according to a lot of observers. There have been some notable shortcomings. SBINet was one of those, and there have been others. What techniques are you going to apply to make sure that things like that don't happen again? What resources maybe and guidelines and so on that OMB is offering, and what, just from your experience and your viewpoint on how things need to be conducted, what's going to apply at DHS to try to prevent things like that from happening in the future?
Okay, so that's a good question, and we're going to cover a couple of pieces to that, to replying to that. One would be in terms of requirements. Let's take an SBINet, for example. We are pushing, and this is an OMB initiative, but it's definitely something that's been done at DHS, and we're going to do even more here at DHS, and that is in communicating with industry. The earlier, the more frequent you communicate with industry about requirements, the clearer those requirements get. The clearer those requirements get, the better proposals you get, and the better ultimate program delivery results you would actually get. So that's one thing, improving communication with industry, consistently emphasizing that. The second piece is enhancing program oversight, and there have been some wonderful things, actually, as I came in the door that were being done here in terms of enhancing program oversight. What does that mean? It means that before you ever have a requirement, that you're able to look across the enterprise of all of the requirements to see, do you actually need a new requirement? Do you only need a partial requirement? But that ability to look across, sort of like a joint requirements study, the ability to look across the enterprise of what's in play first, will help strengthen the process of actually getting to a requirement. Subsequently, when it comes to program oversight, we have a very good framework of a review board, an acquisition review board, investment review board type, where major programs over $300 million at various stages have to come up for review. In addition to that, in terms of enhancement, we're looking at an information technology solution, a decision support tool of sorts that actually, if there are about roughly 80-some-odd major programs in DHS, there are really 500 total programs in DHS, but that we would have real-time insight into the health of those programs and then be able to call them up to the Investment Review Board for real-time assistance to either help the program or, if need be, scale it back. In addition to that, we are emphasizing training of all of the program managers, and working with OMB, we're working an IT-specific program management track. So there's a lot going on in terms of training people, a lot going on in terms of improving the governance process, and definitely a lot going on in terms of improving communication with industry, which usually translates into clearer requirements.
All of those pieces, though, with the exception of maybe the collaboration, because you already have folks that are dealing with industry on a day-to-day basis, except for the collaboration part, all of those are resource intensive. They cost money. In a time of do more with less, are you confident that you're going to have money that you need to get those things done?
Yeah, actually, everything that I outlined, we already have on track, and they're not as costly as you might think. So it is actually doing more with less.
The 85% solution is something that I hear a lot when it comes to especially IT procurement, but all kinds of program procurement in government. Do you think there has been a tendency at DHS to maybe not settle for the 85% solution? And do you see that as a potential way to do what we were talking about earlier, which is to cut back or eliminate the situations that you find yourself in where you get part of the way down a procurement cycle and find out you're not where you want to be?
Well, I think the real answer is, who in this world goes for an 85% solution? And who does that in their real life? I think the thing is to have a clear requirement and go for the 100% solution. Sometimes along the way, there are things that you glean off of any particular program or project, and that's there's value there. But essentially, it's, be very clear up front and then actually deliver 100% of what you say you're going to deliver.
Yeah. The whole requirements issue seems to be where a lot of these issues go wrong. And then the postmortems, though, people think, well, this or that or the other thing happened or the vendor did this or that. Do you find that that's the case, that when you really go back and eyeball these things objectively, that requirements were where some of the issues started in programs that go wrong? Or do you maybe not spend a lot of time analyzing them and keep focused on trying to move forward?
Yeah, I think anything can go wrong in any part of the acquisition life cycle. So, requirements certainly is one piece of it. Certainly something can happen in the awarding of it and then ultimately in the program and the contract management. So I think each situation is very, very unique, and it's very hard to sort of make a blanket statement that it's always the requirement, it's always this. However, if you have a process where you are able to get to clear requirements through things like early and frequent communication with where the buyer and the seller actually connect, then I think that will certainly help. And then on the back end, just getting a contract in place isn't the solution itself. Then there has to be very strong program and contract management, which also needs to be incidentally collaborative with our industry partners.
If you had to list maybe your one, two, or three biggest needs, what would they be?
I would say the first one would simply be for everyone to follow the collective direction that we in the DHS procurement community are giving to our folks. And I would say that is it, because we've laid out our priorities, we've got our initiatives, we know where we're headed, we need to recruit and develop good people. We've got a significant number of people already there. We need to develop them. Contracting-wise, we need to save money. Our folks are here. They're going to do that this year. Very confident about that. In terms of program management, I outlined all of the things that we're working on there that we can and will get done. And then finally, communicating with industry, which we're doing constantly. And then finally, customer service and delivering on that.